We pray. Dear Lord, Good Shepherd, how you have shepherded your people throughout all generations. From the very beginning, you have come with your grace divine. So in these end times, dear Lord, preserve and protect us through your mighty word, that we too might spread abroad the good news of our Savior and his salvation. Bless us, strengthen us, use us, and deliver us in your glory, now and forevermore. Amen. The story is told of a 12-year-old girl by the name of Ramik. She was sailing in a small boat from Syria, fleeing, looking for the boundaries of Greece. She was sailing with her mother, her very ill mother. During the darkness of the very first night, her mother died in her arms. Can you imagine what horror struck Ramik? Here she's all alone in a crowded boat of strangers heading for a strange land. With great tears she said, "What is to become of me?" Great panic. I wonder if that was the same feeling of panic that the disciples felt as they looked up and saw Jesus dying right before their eyes. How can he go? What's going to happen to us? How is this going to have a happy ending? Well, then Easter came. They breathed a sigh of relief. I wonder if there is still a tinge of that pain as they saw Jesus ascend back up into heaven. What? Where are you going now? What's going to become of us? You can't leave. Jesus calmed their fears with that promise they were to hold on to. "I am with you always to the very end of the age." It's amazing how God brought the apostles to the forefront then. Oh, mighty men, blessed by God, empowered by him to heal the sick and raise the dead and have direct revelation from God, to write new books inspired by God and to spread the Christian church from shore to shore. Oh, what a wonderful time that apostolic age must have been. But as we come to Paul's letter to Timothy, we're around the year 67 AD. Something very peculiar is happening. The apostles are dying off. That apostolic age is coming to an end. Whatever is to happen to us now, how will we function? Christ isn't here. The apostles aren't here. What's going to happen to God's word and his church? Is it all just to be entrusted into the hands of ordinary people? There is no one more ordinary than Timothy. Paul recognized how young he was and unimpressive he seemed to be. And so Paul tried to bolster him when he wrote to him, "Don't let anyone look down on you because you are young." And for some very obvious reason, Paul felt the need to write to the Corinthian congregation, "When Timothy comes, see to it that he has nothing to fear while he is with you, for he is carrying on the work of the Lord just as I am. No one then should treat him with contempt. Send him on his way in peace." It gives the impression, doesn't it, that Paul and Timothy were very opposite one another. And yet, regardless of how the world would treat Timothy, Paul kept on reminding him over and over again of how he thanked God for Timothy. And so this day, too, we join Paul as we thank God for the extraordinary, ordinary Timothy. God's extraordinary blessings and power poured out on ordinary people ends up bringing great blessings to God's church. And that's what we'll see right before our eyes. Paul wrote, "I have been reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded now lives in you also." Paul and Timothy had a very unique relationship. Paul considered him his son in the faith. You see, Lois and Eunice and Timothy were firm believers in the Old Testament scripture. They were Israelites who were very much looking forward to the coming Messiah, which speaks volumes, I believe, to the role of Christian education for our youth in Sunday school, in Bible classes, in Lutheran elementary schools and high schools, to train them from little on as Lois and Eunice did. But then Paul was privileged to come to them and teach them of the Christ. The Messiah has come. Not only has he come, he died. He rose. He ascended on high to guarantee life everlasting to all his people. What a blessing that was. And they believed the gospel. They believed what Paul told them. And they looked, they combed their scriptures to see that it was just as Christ was saying. And so Paul felt like a father to Timothy, a spiritual father, having brought him to the knowledge of who Jesus truly was. Young, unimpressive Timothy had an extraordinary faith, a faith given him by God. A sincere and strong faith where he just was not plagued with doubts and worries, but took God at his word and trusted it with all of his heart and soul. And that could not have been easy for Timothy. He had a Greek unbelieving father. What kind of conflict they may have had, we do not know. He lived in a world where a lot of his Jewish companions thought of Jesus as a heretic. Something to be done away with. And oh, the persecution was mounting year after year after year. Not to mention, Timothy was a young man and all the temptations that afflict young men at that age. And yet we find that the mature, seasoned Paul ends up thanking God for Timothy's sincere faith. They had a close-knit bond. And out of that deep, sincere faith grew a profound love in the heart of Timothy. A love for Jesus and a love for Paul. Paul wrote, "Recalling your tears, I long to see you as so that I may be filled with joy." Isn't that interesting? At this point, Paul is chained to a dungeon wall in Rome. And who does he yearn to look to see? Timothy. That they might build each other up, that they might actually have joy in each other's presence. Of all the people in the world, who did his heart yearn for? His beloved Timothy. For he knew that Timothy loved him and that they would build each other up. What an extraordinary love for such an ordinary person. And yet in these dark and evil times, it was very important to know who you could really trust to be safe with and to be loved. Here, Paul and Timothy trusted their Lord. And in that trust, they were able to trust each other and build this deep and abiding love. As any father wishes his children well in whatever they do in life, so Paul called Timothy to strive ever harder in the work that God had placed before him. And notice in Timothy's sincere and deep love for the Lord, he threw himself into the work of feeding the lambs, just as Jesus told Peter to do. Paul wrote to him, "I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God did not give you a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of power, of love, and of self-discipline." If Paul was soon to die, and he was, the last thing he wanted is for Timothy to sit on his hands, to be timid, to be intimidated by evil people, and to minimally use the gifts that God had bestowed upon him. No, he tells him just the opposite. Fan this little flicker into a brilliant flame, this flame of the gifts that God has given you. He was calling for Timothy to intentionally and with determination to grow to the fullest, to use to the fullest all the gifts that God had bestowed upon him, that nothing be wasted and so many more souls would be blessed and fed in the Word of God. Paul and the other leaders of the church at that time laid their hands on Timothy, which was their call into the public ministry. And so he was entrusted with the Word of God. And oh, how Timothy threw himself into working, going to all the congregations that Paul had started to build them up to see how they were going, and even to be a one-man seminary in calling more and more people into the public ministry and appointing them elders over the congregations. Oh, the work he had and the work he accomplished. And notice, as we're talking about gifts, Paul points out to the gift that was given to Paul that was also given to Timothy, the spirit of power, of love, and of self-discipline. Oh, how the church needs leaders like that. In their world of fearful cowardice or wicked power struggles, Timothy was there to use the power of the grace of God in order to build people up, not to tear them down, to stand up against the opposition to the Word of God and to proclaim boldly that there is salvation purchased by God in Christ alone. In their world of perverted love, Timothy was there to love sinners with the love that the Lord had for them, a deep and abiding, genuine love to spend and be spent for those very sinners that he might consider his enemy. In a world of self-indulgence, Timothy was there to be self-disciplined. He was a soldier for the Lord. God was his master and his heavenly Father, and he was to do nothing to bring dishonor or disservice to his heavenly Father. Timothy was called to show the people of his world what the life of love and devotion and faithfulness and truth really looked like. What it looked like to be a disciple of the Lord. Because of the Lord's extraordinary blessing and gifts and power, Timothy was who he was. He was a blessed child of God and an awesome worker in God's church. An ordinary man made extraordinary through the grace of God. And so it's fitting that this day we thank God for all the faithful work and labor and hours carried out by Timothy, all empowered by God in him and through him. But in these end times, do we sometimes feel like we're adrift in a boat, all alone, in a sea of evil and wickedness all around us, and wondering, "Lord, where are you?" We still cling on to that promise, as the New Testament believers did. "I am with you always to the very end of the age." Perhaps in these end times we wish the apostles would come back. Oh, could we ever use a couple miracle workers? Now that would really advance the work of the church, wouldn't it? No. We don't need apostles. We need more Timothys, faithful people. We need faithful people with sincere faith and a deep, profound love. We need people who want to fan into flame the gift God has bestowed upon them rather than sit back in fear and intimidation or laziness. Oh, that they would go and find that spirit of power, of love, and self-discipline. Oh, what a blessing that would be to the church. Do we have no Timothys these days? Or do we have a whole congregation of Timothys? It all revolves around God's people being in God's Word. There is where God gives faith. It's in the gospel that our love grows. It's through the power of His words that we see the mission field, the ministry that He's placed in front of each and every one of us. It's through His divine promises from His throne that empowers us to speak the truth, to love the lost, to control ourselves in a way that is pleasing to our Lord God on high. Are you interested in being a Timothy? We thank God for the extraordinary, ordinary Timothy, because He shows us how ordinary people can live extraordinary lives as they live out their faith in their Savior day to day. Now is the time for us to live out our faith in our Savior. Amen. Please rise. We pray, Heavenly Father, worker of miracles, so come through Your holy word and sacraments and help us to grow in our faith, in our love, in our trust in You, and in our power to live for You in thought, word, and deed. Bless us and lighten us, dear Lord, that we might bring honor to Your name and truly be a blessing to others around us. In Christ our Savior, we pray. Amen.